Scripture lesson today is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I don't always preach from the lectionary, but this is actually the scripture from the lectionary of the Christian church, the scriptures that many churches around the world preaches that they recommend that the pastors preach from on this particular Sunday. Baptist circles, we don't always know what a lectionary is. A lectionary is a book that's organized through Catholic Church, Episcopal churches, and other churches, the Christian community, particular scriptures that they would recommend that the pastors preach on that Sunday, so that pastors won't just preach their favorite scriptures. They got to preach the whole book. Amen? So today, the lectionary scripture is Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Amen. Who is your Lazarus? That's what I want to talk about. Who's your Lazarus? This biblical account, there are two primary figures. One is the rich man. The Bible really doesn't name the rich man, but throughout history, the church gave the rich man a name. They call him Dives. Because the Latin translation of rich man is Dives. So even though in the Bible there is no name for the rich man, there is a name for the poor man. His name is Lazarus. And you got to get the picture of these two guys. The rich man had on his flowing robe of purple. The Bible goes on to say he wore a robe of purple with linen. In other words, the guy had on not only a fine robe, but he had on brand underwear, linen. And the Bible tells us not only did he have on his fine robe, but he ate well, sumptuously every day. It does not say what he ate, but he had a party. Almost the Bible points to the point that he had a party every day. And one can imagine if he was a rich man, he probably had servants and maids. He lived in a palatial palace. He probably had whatever the finest means of transportation was at the time. He had a chariot. He was known in the influential circles, I would imagine. They knew his name downtown. The governor knew his name, whoever that would be. He had money. And to some degree, if you have money, you have influence. On the other hand, there was another man by the name of Lazarus. Poor man. Didn't even... We don't know what kind of clothes he had, but you can rest assured he didn't have no purple. Bible says that he couldn't even walk because somebody set him by the gate of the rich man's house every day. He had sores on his body. Pus oozing out of his body, sitting in front of a palace. No food to eat. Really, he was set there so that he could get crumbs from the table of this rich man. We don't know how long he sat there. We don't know how long he stayed by the gate. We just know that it was a daily occurrence every single day. Maybe he sat there for years. How many of you know you can be poor for a long time? But every single day, he went there and he sat at the same place right at the gate where if the rich man came out, the rich man would have to see him. Then the Bible shifts automatically and shifts quickly. Then the Bible says, and then the poor man Lazarus died and an angel came and took him to the bosom of Abraham. And right behind it, it says, and the rich man died and he was buried. Didn't say nothing about the rich man. Now you can imagine the rich man probably had a great funeral. Probably had all kind of people weeping and crying. But after it was over, he was just dead. And the Bible alludes to the fact, not only was he dead, but the rich man went to hell. And the poor man went to heaven. Now, this sermon really is not really about heaven and hell. I'm not really talking about heaven and hell today because I want you to know I believe that there are some rich people in heaven and I believe that there are some poor people in hell. Because normally, you know what we do, we assume that everybody poor going to heaven. And everybody rich going to hell. Look at somebody say it ain't like that. But this text does remind us. Well, how is it that the rich man ended up in hell? First of all, the Bible, I want you to note what the Bible does not say. It doesn't say that the rich man was a bad guy. It doesn't say that he kicked Lazarus every time he went outside the gate. It does not say that he wanted Lazarus to be removed from the gate. You know how we are. You got a poor guy sitting at your front porch with sores running all the time. You know how we would be. You got to move. I don't know where you are going, but you are leaving here. Call the cops. Get a restraining order. This guy is sitting on my front door. He has got to move. But the rich man did not do that. Well, what was the rich man's problem? The rich man's problem was he did not even see Lazarus. He acted like Lazarus was not even around. It was just a part of the landscape. He was poor. He deserved to be poor. I'm rich. I'm supposed to be rich. You got to make it the best way you can. My question to you is, who's your Lazarus? Who is it that you should see that you do not see? It might be your wife. It might be your husband. It might be your children. It might be your cousin or your nephew. It might be a homeless person that you and I just look at as the landscape and we have no compassion whatsoever. And that's the sin. That's the problem that I have with some of these conservatives in Washington. They don't seem to see people. They see victims. They see welfare recipients. They see black people. They see Latinos. These are God's children. They see expenses, but they don't see that these are people who need health care just like they do. That's what bothers me about them. Lazarus, who's your Lazarus? Well, the first thing, in order to be a Christian, Christians love one another. And look at somebody and say, love sees. Love sees your pain. We can't always do anything, but it hurt my heart to see this little 5-year-old girl and this struggling mother who's struggling and has got to work and all by herself, and all she needs is a little somebody to help her in the emergency time. Love sees. God help a Christian who's blind to human suffering. God, that's why I like Deacon Hodges' prayer this morning. Because he saw enough for his heart to be touched. And he did not mind shedding a few tears for our kids. Who's crying for our kids today? Who's crying on behalf of our kids today? Who's crying on behalf of single parents today? Somebody needs to be crying. Yeah. Who is your Lazarus? And let me tell you, most of us in this room, I don't know who you think you would in this story between the rich man and Lazarus, which one's you? Most of us qualify to be in the rich man category. There's a few people in here who relate more to Lazarus. We are a mixed congregation. We are a mixed bag. But let me be clear. Most of us relate to the rich man. And because we are in the rich man category, God help us if we ever get so rich that we can't see. But you know what? It's not enough just to see. You got to act. Love sees, but love also acts. What good is it to just see Lazarus sitting by your gate and you keep driving without even stopping? You don't even care about Lazarus. But somewhere along the line, if you really love, you got to stop and act. Too many times in the church, we think everybody else is going to act. And because we think everybody else is going to act, guess what? Nobody acts. And Lazarus sits right there at our gate and dies. Because we saw, but we did not act. Help me, Holy Ghost. We need a church that's Acts. I'm grateful for Mount Olive Church. I'm grateful for one of our core values of who we are. We are a church that helps in benevolence. People come here every single day looking for food and looking for help. That's wonderful. But you know what? It's not enough just to help through benevolence. If you love, I thank God for one person. One person just sent me a card up here a few minutes ago. Say, I want to talk to you about that little girl. That person not only saw, that person decided, I want to act. I want to do something. I got a little time, but I need more than one person. There ought to be more than one person in this whole congregation to say, I got a little time every now and then to help this little girl. Because I was a single parent once upon a time, and my grandmother helped me, and Aunt Mary helped me. And if it had not been for them, I would have been messed up. Do I have a witness in here? Love. Love sees. And love acts. But finally, love heals. Oh, everybody in here. You know, I'm not talking about just being sick in your body. How many of you have been sick in your soul sometimes? How many of you have been so stressed out you didn't know how in the world you were going to make it? Somebody walked out on you. You got more bills. You just needed somebody to give you a word of encouragement. Somebody to hug you for a little. That's when I watch women in church. You know, because men, when we hug, we just do a little pat. But when women hug, they hold on to you for a little while. They say, I'm not ready yet. I just need you to hold me for a minute. I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. Right, because if I don't have some encouragement, I'm not going to be able to get up tomorrow morning. Love heals. Who's your Lazarus? Here's the other thing, another side of this same story. These guys, the rich man and Lazarus, they were neighbors. They didn't travel in the same circles. Lazarus couldn't have got into the country club. Lazarus couldn't even have driven the golf cart. Not with all them sores on him. But they were neighbors. And you and I have neighbors that we don't see. They're there. We don't see them. We don't want to see them. Those drug addicts, those alcoholics, those prostitute, those foreigners, those unemployed, whatever, those lazy people. We don't see them. But this is a call for you to open up your eyes and see them. And when you see them, act. And when you act, help to heal them and win them back into who they could be in Jesus Christ. Not who you think they are. Not who you think the world have made them to be. Then, don't get yourself confused. First of all, you got to know who you are. You got to decide right now, am I a Lazarus? Am I a rich man? If you got a job, first, if you got a reasonable strength of your health, you're a rich man. But I know people right here in this church. God help us. God help me. I know people right here in this church who've been unemployed now for 2 years. I know people right here in this church who've lost their unemployment and who's struggling and who wants to scream. I know people right here in this church who needs $50 from me. Not because that's going to solve their problem, but because it says that I see you. And it says, like the young people say, I feel you.
I feel your pain. I feel your anguish. I feel what you're going through. I wish I could do more, but I just want you to know that I see you. And if I see you, God sees you. And I hope to God that there's somebody in Mount Olive Church that'll see somebody here that you didn't see before, and you'll try to heal them by helping them. There, except for the grace of God, goes you. Goes me. God help us if we ever become a blind church. God knows there's a bunch of blind churches out there. All they see is what they can get, what the people can bring into the church, how they can build buildings. Oh, we want to build buildings, but it's not about this building. And I've heard people say, oh, you've got a great legacy. You built the family life. It's not about the Family Life Center. It's about what goes on in the Family Life Center. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about a church that sees. I preached this sermon today. I was working on this sermon. I got up this morning, Deacon Hodge, and my glasses fell apart. That's why I got tape on them right now. Glasses fall apart at the most. The devil was trying to say, you going to talk about seeing? I'm going to fix you, brother. He tried to mess with my vision. But thanks be to God, Barbara says, don't we have some tape? I said, tape it, baby. I can see. I can see. I can see. Thank God I can see. But I want